we go. It's episode number 48 of We Talk Comics on the Air and in Your Ear. I am Mo, and this episode is known as A Wing and a Prayer. We'll get to a little bit more of that in a second, because we're going to get our last guy who I'm going to introduce here to kind of give the concepts as he came up with it. But first off, it's Brett's turn. Brett, how are you doing this week?
Well, I'm not too bad, but, really, geez, A Wing and a Prayer, other than last episode, what the hell is the difference between our regular programming?
Oh, there's a little bit of a difference. We got a little bit of a hook. How about you, Keith? What do you think?
I'm feeling good. We've had some great feedback on our last few episodes, particularly Frank Miller and the Beers on the Patio episodes. I hear there was another one in the middle there, but it was only 3/4 of good.
Yeah, the one without you. Yeah, that was a real good show. And Chris, who has come up with this week's concept. How you doing, Chris? Introduce the concept, man.
All right. I'm doing awesome, actually. And the concept is we are lazy. We got no ideas left. So after last week, we put in a lot of work, and I put work in invisible quotes or something because, I mean, we read a lot of comic books. But this week, we had no idea what to do. So what we're going to do is just go around the circle, and each of us is going to pitch a topic, and then we'll explain to Keith that Booster Gold is not a topic for an entire show. We'll vote, we'll debate, and whatever we come up with, that's the topic. We put no work into this whatsoever, and I think it's going to turn out good. You're going to get a lot of spontaneous behavior.
Yeah, Zach, this should be a lot of fun. Hey, we didn't really put any work into Beers on the Patio. Everyone loved that. We were just drinking beers, talking comics. So, which I'm sure is something...
Yeah, and that is so different than what I'm doing right now.
As he takes a sip. All right, but first off, you know what we have to do? We have to have the return after a week's absence. Everybody was asking, where the hell is the news?
2 weeks absence for me.
2 weeks absent. That's right, 2 weeks absent, but only a week's absent for the news, so that was okay. You were on last episode, though.
I was, but we didn't do any news. And
no, but I'm just noticing that.
And nobody complained.
I'm just thinking about how much better the show could have been without you. But anyways, you know what? Last week's the whole show was sponsored by Comic Odyssey. This week they're back to being the proud sponsor of our news section with our weekly news with Cub Reporter K, which is Keith, of course. And you know what? They are the best website you're ever going to find for comic book news, reviews, and previews. Comicosity, please visit them. They're tremendous. My favorite thing this last week was the excellent interview with Curtis Weeb and the writer of Peter Panzerfaust and the tremendous artist of that book as well, Tyler Jenkins. So that was my favorite post of the week. So, guys, what do you think? Everybody visit Comicosity? Say hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. And now, the weekly news with Cub Reporter K.
Well, I've got some little stories for the week, but the two biggest stories in comics in the past week, I'm going to call them a kiss and a kiss my ass. So, the kiss is of course, Wonder Woman and Superman. Now, I'm not even going to give a spoiler alert. Everyone knows that this is going to be in Justice League number 12. Everyone knows it's coming. It's front page news on many, many sites, including Entertainment Weekly. So I had a chance to read it. I will say for the first time in, it's not even a year, it's the first time in many, many years, I really enjoyed that issue of Justice League.
Seriously?
I did.
Really?
I really didn't know what was going on. I haven't read it since number 7 that I gave it a chance last, so I couldn't really follow what was going on for the first third of the issue. But I really liked how they shook out some stuff to tease what's going to happen in year 2 of the New 52. So round table.
Brett, you obviously disagree, man. You threw it out there. What? I didn't read it. I don't understand. But that doesn't mean I don't have opinions. I had opinions. Don't you worry. I had lots of venom about Justice League and DC. Don't worry. I'm good. Brett, what do you think?
I mean, I haven't read it since issue 1. And I guess, I mean, you're right. Like, totally didn't really understand the first two-thirds of the book. The second third just seemed a little forced to me, and it just didn't seem very good. And I think the number one...
Very good. I was waiting for his inventive description. Yeah.
He's the best color man in the business.
Good. All right, go on, Brett.
I blew all the good color man lines with Frank Miller. Sorry. But it was one of those cases...
Hold on, did you say you blew Frank Miller?
No.
Okay, all right, I heard that wrong.
Nice sound effect of the cat there. Not a post-pro there, that's why.
Yeah, that's right, a live cat. But, I mean, I guess, I'm sure there are lots of people...
Did you just say a live cock?
yeah, let's talk comics, man.
Yeah, there's a... Ah, so good. So good to be back. But I'm sure there's lots and lots and lots of people who are going to love this book. And maybe it's just the fact that I'm not enjoying the characters. I just don't feel like the characters are very enjoyable this time around in Justice League. I don't have the same level of engagement with a Batman or Superman or Wonder Woman or Green Lantern. I just kind of feel like they're all douchebags now. And so I guess I just don't really enjoy where they're coming
from.
Hold
on, did you think you're saying the characters written by Geoff Johns are coming across like douchebags?
Yep, pretty much.
Wow, that's
neat. I know, it's kind of amazing now. It, you know, and considering Geoff Johns used to be one of my absolute favorite writers, then I do consider it to be unfortunate. You know, Justice League 12, the weirdest thing for me was just the fact that it seems like they're writing for the year now. It's just like, oh, coming in year two of Justice League is this. And I'm like, really? So you're kind of like, we're going to write in 1 year chunks now? just seemed a little odd. I mean, for me, it didn't do anything for me, and I really didn't like Jim Lee's art through most of it.
Yeah, me either. I didn't see it. I didn't read it. Chris, did you?
Yeah, obviously no, did. I actually, like Keith, enjoyed the issue. I concede Brett's point that, yeah, the kiss was a cliffhanger. And I was actually upset when I read the news story that the Wonder Woman, Superman, they were going to kiss. It was a big deal. And then I read the issue, and this is nothing to be concerned about. This is just an obstacle for Wonder Woman to overcome for a long-standing love affair with Steve Trevor. This is a gimmick and not a very good one. It's not going to last the year. This is just a stupid, oops, we kissed, should we tell Lois thing. My God, this is so nothing. This shouldn't even be the cover. It's stupid.
You know, here's, oh boy. Somebody explained to me, like, okay, considering the first issue of Catwoman, she boned Batman, and that Starfire bones everybody who walks. What is the big deal? And considering they've kissed before, they've had that tease relationship before, way back when Byrne was doing it, and probably before that even. I mean, somebody explain to me what the hell's the big deal about this? I don't get it at all.
As far as I can tell, there's a staggering number of people who have no idea that this happened before. I had my whole Twitter feed the day that the story broke was people that thought that it was completely predictable and people who thought it made no sense on character. So those two things are totally incompatible. I mean, one of them has to be untrue. So it was hilarious watching that. They were fairly even. People who thought that this was the most predictable, boring thing that you could possibly do, and people who thought that it made no sense for these two characters to kiss. So, and for me, I mean, yeah, it's been 20 years, more than 20 years since, you know, Action 600 when Clark made a pass at Wonder Woman. And they were together in Kingdom Come. They've been together in many different Elseworlds stories.
And nobody thinks they're going to be together for like 5 years or anything.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't had a love interest in the past year.
Oh, wow, he hasn't had a love interest in the past year. Nobody thinks that they're going to be together for five. Nobody thinks this is the permanent new direction of these characters. Nobody thinks that.
Some people are weird.
It's going to be resolved next issue. That's how boring this is.
I think it'll be longer than that, but... I mean, you think it'll be number 13, is what you're saying?
It's got no. Come on, they write stories for a year, so it'll be issue 24.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. Like it's.
Oh yeah, it'll be the one kiss. They're not going to start dating or anything like that. She's going to feel guilty.
They might date for a year, Chris. They might date for a year, but you know what? At the end, I mean, Justice League, the Justice League cartoon series, it had a relationship between Batman and Wonder Woman. What is the big deal here?
I don't think there is one. I think that's the point. I think this is just so... I mean, the only reason I think it's going to resolve quickly is Steve Trevor was in the hospital bed one floor below when they kissed.
Okay, now I haven't read Wonder Woman. There was certainly really, from what I recall of the first issue, which I did read, I didn't see any sign that she had any relationship with the Steve Trevor character. So, I mean, they've established this, what, over the last 11 issues in Wonder Woman?
She used to. What they've established in, it's mostly been in Justice League, is that her and Steve Trevor were together prior to Wonder Woman number one.
Okay, so basically what we have is then that they've established that she is this... This isn't Lois Lane. This is Steve Trevor. This isn't Mary Jane Watson even. This is Steve Trevor. I don't think comic fans, casual or even... You'd have to be the hardest of hardcore fans or remember the 70s TV show to really, I think, have any affinity for this character and think that these two are supposed to be together and end up together. I don't think people are going to be upset over that at all. I don't think there's any connection to them.
Are you saying people don't follow... Linda Carter as religiously as I do?
Actually, you know what? Daily, man. I actually disagree with you, Mo. I think there's a lot of people out there who remember Linda Carter and Steve Trevor just from the Wonder Woman TV series. They may never, ever have picked up a Wonder Woman comic book in their lives, but they remember the TV series.
Well, then they really aren't affected by this comic book thing either. I don't think the casual readers of Justice League are this thing. He's a character who fell off. Why? Because he was a boring character. It didn't really work. He's a character who's fallen off many times over the last 20 years, 25 years. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any big deal.
I don't even know. Has he actually been on an active love interest of Wonder Woman since Crisis?
I don't think so.
Because he was.
He's been in and out of the book.
He wasn't in the Perez run.
No, he was. He's been in and out of the book. Every now and then they bring him back and try to establish him.
Perez run.
He was in it, yes, but he wasn't her love interest.
Okay, and I believe he had something to do with the Rucka run. It's been a while since I've read it.
Yeah, but. he was one of the many cast of characters that he tried to build up around her to make her more interesting. But he wasn't a main character. He wasn't, you know. He wasn't the love interest or focus by any means. Yeah, I just don't think this is a big deal.
Let's move into the next thing that Justice League 12 teases is the announcement of, and I'm never going to get this right, because for a year I have called the Justice League book JLA. So I will have no end of trouble when we review Justice League of America by Jeff Johns and Finch. Finch artist. David Finch?
David Finch.
David Finch, thank you. This team is Green Arrow, Katana, Martian Manhunter, the new Green Lantern, Stargirl, Vibe, Hawkman, Catwoman, and Steve Trevor. So that team, let's get the reaction. We only have the one image, so there is no context for this, just the one image that's been released, and I believe Mo has seen this. Let's hear what do you think of the Justice League of America?
Okay, first off, I really enjoy Finch's art. Is that widescreen movie style art? So I do enjoy it. I'll give him that. I'm so pissed off with what they did with the costume for Jon Stewart. You remember the entire point?
Wait, I want you to stop. That's not Jon Stewart.
Oh, it isn't?
No, that's the new Green Lantern. His name is Baz. He's a brand new Green Lantern, brand new character.
Okay, then I have no problems. Brett, go on.
Yep. I just cut half an hour out of the podcast.
Pretty much, you just ruined my excellent rant. Brett, that rant I had in the car when you told me Jon Stewart's got a mask. And I went off for like a half hour cursing.
That's awesome. I despite that, I'm not sad that I just told you that. Brett.
Oh, no, that was a good moment. Brett, a bombshell on you, too. That's not Jon Stewart.
No, I just thought it was a giant collection of ugly costumes. That was pretty much my thought on it. Like, I mean, I don't give a I don't give a rat's ass who that new Green Lantern is. The costume is god-awful. It's like one of the most single worst costumes I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe you're just not used to it.
I just think it's ugly. I just think most of them...
And it looks a lot like that.
Not my favorite looking costumes. I mean, otherwise, Demi David Finch has done some nice art in the past, and I'll certainly give the first issue a shot.
I do think the Justice League America is a really difficult thing to brand the difference.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely when you had international and America and stuff like that, then it was fine. But I mean, when, you know, it's like Justice League of America. Whoa, stop it,
Chris. What do you think, man?
I actually like it. I have no problems really with any of the costumes. I mean, GL. Yeah, I got it's ugly, but he's a GL, man. It'll change next week. Green Lanterns aren't the most consistent costume wearers. Hell, next week it'll be a new guy. There's a lot of green.
Apparently, certainly.
Yeah, how many Green Lanterns are there now that are Earthlings that have the frickin' ring?
This would be the fifth Earthling, but Hal Jordan is supposed to take a walk.
Oh.
Well, Hal Jordan hasn't been an official Green Lantern since before New 52 began.
Okay.
But my problem, Vibe. What the hell, Vibe? I like the Detroit League from before New 52. But Vibe's always been the weakest character in that roster. If we're going to bring somebody from the Detroit League just to sort of round out the cast that we got one loser in there, my pick would be Steel or Gypsy. I love Gypsy. Throw her in there. Vibe was so 80s that he should have stayed there. What the
hell? He's got a new costume.
I hope he's written the same way as he used to be, though.
That would be awesome.
Total stereotype Hispanic, street kid. Yeah, that's the way.
I figure, Chris.
But he'll be a douchebag.
How many times has the Vibe character been killed over the years? I think 5,000-6,000. He's probably in there he's the Star Trek character in the red shirt. That's what he's there for. He's there to die in the first few issues, so we have some weight to this series. That's my prediction.
I got a list of people in the DC Universe we could kill, some of which have their own titles. Batwing.
Some of them write their titles.
Let's add one of those. We don't need to bring back Vibe just to kill him off.
Okay. Well, either way, you know what? It does. This lineup does scream Justice League Detroit.
All right. Well, the other big comic news this week was this also New 52 related. Rob Liefeld walked off the job. Rob Liefeld, he resigned, effective with the Zero issues. I'm a bit confused as to what the timeline of production must be for him to have quit with only like a month's worth of issues coming out. Or this was just the time that they officially announced that he was done. He didn't just storm out, though. He spent half a week on Twitter, very loudly complaining about every aspect of working for DC over the course of the past year. Specific editors by name, specific problems he had. Now, this is a guy who also, had his falling out with Kirkman over creative differences, and now set fire to the bridge behind him as he left DC. So, thoughts on the exit of Rob Liefeld from Three Comics in the New 52.
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say this about... you guys know how much I hate to repeat myself about things I've said previously on this podcast. I hate to do that. But I'm just going to say this about Rob Liefeld. Douche. Brett?
Well, I think for me the interesting thing is... because I've seen a lot of the Twitter fallout, because it's interesting to watch and read. But... one of the things that I'm noticing is that I think there's more people out and agreeing with him in certain cases, which is almost surprising. It's not one of those cases where, I think we have a natural knee-jerk reaction to assume that Rob Liefeld is completely the problem in all situations.
That he's a douche? He still is. I don't care.
And that he's the issue, and that he's wrong, and that DC is... probably right. And I think that we're just kind of seeing that, you know, there's probably is problems in DC. Whether or not this is the right way to illustrate said problems, I'm pretty sure it isn't. But you know, I think that he's not completely the problem.
Chris, what do you think, man?
I'd pay for his Twitter feed right now, man. Best book he's written in years.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's entertaining. Ever. It's dramatic. I enjoy it. I'm emotionally conflicted about some of the things he's saying. Great. I'm getting more enjoyment out of him quitting than I did out of any of his books.
Keith, you got to have an opinion on this, too.
He made a ruckus going out, that's for sure. I don't know. Like I see some of it, but he's done it with such anger. And then to, you know, he drew in the turning point on Twitter, because it was actually interesting to watch for a while in kind of a train wreck kind of way. You know, someone storming out of the office, knocking things over as they go. And then he drew in Scott Snyder at some point, and the audience turned. You know, Scott Snyder, seen interviews with the guy, seen him in person. He's a super nice guy. And yes, he's a company guy. He's one of the top dogs at DC right now. But to have out of nowhere taken a swipe at Scott Snyder and said that Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo have nothing to do with the success of Batman was actually where it came up, that anyone can sell a Batman book, surprising. Just to go from I have problems with DC and its editorial policies and the editors I worked with specifically to, oh yeah, and that guy also sucks. It was quite a change. And I don't know, like, it was interesting seeing that it was like an angry exit interview, his whole Twitter feed. Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear, it is fairly evident that DC has huge editorial problems right now. And we're acknowledging that. Just the way Rob Liefeld chose to handle this shows a lack of class. And, I mean, this is something we need to be concerned about, but yeah, this is Rob Liefeld all over.
Well, here's the... I mean, if you're Jim Lee, considering how much support he's given this guy over the past year, and this guy who's failed and has failed before in the past and imploded, exploded, done everything to himself in his career so many times, I mean, I think you have a right to be a little pissed off. But here's my view on Jim Lee, quite honestly, without anything else. Nobody else's behavior matters. If you know, he wants to wait a while till he's not so angry and say, here's some of the things I tried to do and I wasn't able to affect them because of certain issues, and I don't hold anybody personally responsible, it's the system, and he wanted to defend himself in such a way, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. But at the end of the day, somebody else's behavior doesn't matter. You can only control your own behavior. You can only look in the mirror and say, that day, was I as good a person? Did I behave as properly as I could have? Or did I act in the wrong? He's acted in the wrong. So it's really, really difficult to understand his point of view, regardless of whether or not he has some points that are proper, because he himself has behaved poorly. Keith, you had something there.
Yeah, a lot of people have been comparing some of the things that Liefeld has said in specific two things that Perez said after leaving Superman, where he said that there didn't seem to be enough of a plan going in for how these things were all going to fit together. The difference
that's
in this is
that I left. That's one of the reasons I had stopped reading from DC. I mean, we know that.
Yeah, I'm going to say, but the difference with Perez is, like, he said that, and yes, like, I absolutely believe that to be true. I mean, you can't. I don't think it is possible to plot out a certain. To a certain level. I mean, yes, Superman should have been figured out better than it was. I mean, Batman has run a lot smoother than Superman has, and there's three times as many Batman titles. But the difference is that Perez left Superman because he wasn't happy with editorial, wasn't happy with the process he was working under. And then he said, honestly, what his opinion was, then he went back to work. And he's still working at DC. And that's the difference, is that he did not storm out. And, you know, people talk about this. Perez said, these are honestly the problems that I had. And then he went right to work on World's Finest.
That's good. Exactly. Nobody else's poor behavior is ever an excuse for your own poor behavior. And that's just the point at the end of the day.
He's running out of friends that can get him work. Really. He can't go to... Image is, well, it is what it is. And he's toasted some bridges there. DC, I don't think Jim Lee's going to throw him any more books about to be canceled. Jeff Loeb's the only guy, and he's over at Marvel.
You know what? At the end of the day, you reap what you sow. And this is karma. And I think we should go out with this last statement on Ry Blofeld, my personal opinion on him. I think what we should say is, douche.
The last thing I'll say, I was thinking about how much could you plan, etc. Because I mean, certainly one of Blofeld's complaints was that he didn't feel things were planned out far enough. And I know Moe's expressed this. I did a rough count, and I may have missed one or two annuals along the way, but my count is... This week is the one-year anniversary of the New 52. This is the one-year anniversary of the release of Flashpoint number 5 and Justice League number 1. In that time, there have been 686 comic books published under the New 52 banner. I think any concept that you could put all of that in a neat package and it would make perfect sense is a bit silly. Yes, I do think someone like Superman should be better figured out. I don't think Grifter necessarily had to be as figured out. One of the things we did find out that I find very interesting, and it does shed light on a lot of the structure of Superman over the past year, there was supposed to be a Damonites crossover this fall in the Superman books. And this was one of Blofeld's complaints. It was going to be Superman, Grifter, Supergirl, Red Lanterns, and would have included Voodoo after her title was ended. This now makes... So much of Superman and Stormwatch makes sense for the past year.
Actually, I was looking forward to that. I love Grifter and the Damonites, and I was looking forward to something gelling these titles together, or gelling the Wildstorm titles into the DC Universe. Of course, now that they're gone, there's not a lot of point.
Yeah, and this was kind of the last straw for him. It was supposed to start with the Superman annual that came out this week that doesn't actually tie in. And, the addition of Scott Lobdell taking over Superman, I think, was what at the end of that. So moving on to other stories, we have two Before Watchmen stories. There will be two extra Before Watchmen comic books. Before Watchmen Moloch by Joe Straczynski will come out in November and December. And Bill Sienkiewicz has stepped in to ink Night Owls number 3 and 4 over Andy Kubert's art. These, as you know, Night Owl 1 and 2 were inked by Joe Kubert, who did not ink 3 and 4 prior to his passing a couple weeks ago. And now, we never do celebrity photos on this show. And now, every other site does celebrity photos. I think primarily the reason is that
we have a photo of me.
I think we're limited in that we're an audio podcast. So that's probably the number one reason we don't talk about celebrity photos. But there was a celebrity photo this week that is worth talking about. Jessica Alba at a shooting range with dyed blonde hair.
Oh, shit.
Why is this an important story?
Oh,
Sin City. Who can do it first? Chris?
Sin City.
Sin City 2 has started shooting.
Sin City.
Oh, okay. I was scared it was another Fantastic Four movie.
No,
that scared the shit out of me.
Sin City 2 has started production at long last. Finally. With Jessica Alba returning as Little Nancy Callahan.
Alright.
Actually, the new...
The stripper
the news
who never takes
Cassie
off her clothes in Sin City?
On that Lady Gaga is the interesting one.
That's hardly comic related. And a quick shout out to... Joe Keating, who has, after the cancellation of his Thanos book, they finally announced what he will be working on. He will be working on a Morbius comic book starting in January.
Nice! I always like Morbius.
From one canceled book to another.
Yeah, I won't last long, and I am sick of vampires, but...
It is looking more and more like my prediction was correct, and Grant Morrison's Wonder Woman project will be Wonder Woman Earth 1. With art by Yannick Paquette. And the last news, the Marvel Universe TV pilot that we talked about a couple of episodes back will be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hmm.
And yay. It will be The first episode will be directed and co-written by Joss Whedon.
So is Hasselhoff playing him? Is Hasselhoff playing Fury? I mean, if that not, I'm not really interested. I'm not really interested unless it's the Hoff playing Nick Fury again.
See a movie, man. Go to the Avengers, man. You're falling behind.
Oh, I fell behind, but that's movies, and we're talking comics, not movies.
Yeah, we're talking a spin-off TV series to the movie.
Yeah, I don't care. You know Samuel Jackson's not starring in it. I guess Dum Dum Duncan.
Maybe he'll do.
I love me some Dum Dum.
See, now I'm really, really annoyed that you won't see these movies. Dum Dum's in Captain America, for frick's sakes, and you won't watch these movies.
So? I'll read and a comic book with him in there, though.
And that's the news.
All right, the news with Keith Exomanopause is over, and we're going to go around to
Archer and Stretch Armstrong.
All right, let's throw out some Wing and a Prayer. Let's see if we can come up with a quick topic to talk on. Chris, you're first, man, because you came up with this. Throw out one.
All righty, right before the podcast, I was talking with Jan R. on Twitter, and we were bitching Kevin Smith. I would like to turn this whole podcast into a Kevin Smith bitch session. Where he went wrong. What are the worst atrocities he's done to comic books? We're never going to do a Kevin Smith episode like we did the Frank Miller episode. In a smaller format, we haven't all read all the same stuff, but I'd like to hear your guys' opinion on what Kevin Smith has stabbed in the heart and trampled to death in the comic book world. I would like to discuss this. That's my idea.
I think it's because we can't read Kevin Smith because he's just not a good writer.
Honestly, I think you can probably, if you piece together every time we've mentioned Kevin Smith over the last 47 previous episodes, you'll get enough to... You can edit together your own little mini episode on Kevin Smith.
I'm just looking for the digest version.
All right. You got one, Brett?
Well, I was just thinking of something a tad more simple and more and a little more enjoyable. I was thinking of the very, very, very first series that we ever started collecting, and just kind of like, you know, what those things were and what attracted us to them then, and would the same thing still attract us now?
Oh, I like that too. I like that too. I got one. I was thinking we could talk about origins. Origins, best origin stories, worst origin stories, favorite origin stories, origin of We Talk Comics. I was thinking we could talk a little bit about the beginnings of some of our characters. Keith, you got one?
A topic? Yes. Now, this comes out of something that Brett was saying about Justice League, and also something that Pal Matt and I were talking about. The thoughts on how two books fit together, both continuity and character. Brett was saying how he didn't like the way that the characters were written in Justice League. How much does it bother you if someone is off, has a different character representation in, say, Justice League and Green Lantern, or Wolverine and Wolverine and the X-Men?
So,
a little deeper than just continuity, how the character behaves, what they're like. Would he say that kind of phrasing?
I like that, too. I like that. These are all good topics. Damn it! We're not going to talk them all. The show will go on until, like, 3 in the morning.
Well, we'll just have to be sure they're out there now, so we can save them for later.
They're out there now. Maybe people will tell us what they'd like us to talk about the most out of these. I got another one here. Chris, you got one? Another one? You're about to jump in. I got another one.
We're all on Twitter. Send us a message. If we're not doing it this week, chances are we won't have an idea for an episode next week or the week after. So pipe up.
That's right. He's Chris_WeTalk. I'm Mo underscore WeTalk. M-O. That's Brett, B-R-E-T-T underscore WeTalk, and of course at Cub Reporter K. So just throw that out there too, guys. How about based off of what I thought was happening with Jon Stewart that wasn't, and based off of what did happen to Wolverine, what are the changes made to a character, sudden changes made to a character that you found most unnecessary or the most pissed you off in history. So I think that's another one I'd like to talk about at some point.
I feel like that I would need to think about.
Yeah, maybe.
I got another one. Worst costumes of all time.
Most overrated creators ever working in the business, in your opinion.
I don't think Liefeld's got enough popularity to be overrated. Most mind-numbing that anybody ever worked with him again.
I'd say Liefeld's probably exactly rated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Liefeld's not overrated. I mean,
no, not at all.
Jim Lee is overrated. Liefeld's not overrated.
Oh, man, don't say that. I got in so much trouble on Twitter for saying that, man.
So true.
That was like two-hour conversation, man.
Yeah, he is overrated.
trying to take back my my Jim Lee is overrated. We never said he was bad. He's a good artist. I'm just saying, way too overrated.
It's the best.
Well, certainly at this point in his career compared to where he once was. Keith, what are your favorite to talk about? And it's okay to say your own.
That's some really tough ones.
I really Brett's idea really intrigues me.
I've forgotten which one was his. Our first series?
Yeah, your first. Well, just the first series that you remember collecting and why you collected it then. Would you collect it now?
Let's start there and see how it goes.
All right.
I think that was probably straightforward.
Yeah, sure. My first one is easy, and I can definitely say I would collect it today just like I collected it then. The first series I collected, not the first comic book. And I started with issue 4, Secret Wars.
Oh, nice.
And I viewed this as the cost-saving book, the GLA of the Marvel Universe. This was a comic book
Avengers?
I could spend my 75 cents on at the time. No. I could spend my 75 cents and get everybody.
I can't stop laughing. Hold on. Brett just totally nailed you. Burn. I'm sorry. That was good, Brett. Chris, you were in the middle of your thought enough that you didn't realize how good that was. You gotta admit, that was a good one. Alright, go on, Chris. Sorry.
It would definitely intrigue me today, as it did then. Good story. Simple. It had everybody. Everyone had their chance to shine. I think it was the perfect place to start collecting comic books. Not to mention, hey, you got Spider-Man in the black costume for the first time in there.
I know I had a lot of books that it's like I can look back. I wasn't officially collecting them, and yet I was getting them every month. I wouldn't say I was collecting Flash, for instance, but all of a sudden I'd look down and I'd have every issue for like a year. What was, you said to yourself, that's it, this book I'm collecting. Did you have that kind of that epiphany? Like, poof, this light went off?
Yes, at the time, I was actually reading a lot of comic books, but I was going to a used bookstore to get my comic books, and I was trading in my issues every time I went.
We're probably going to the same place.
Yeah, the Wee Book Inn for me.
Oh, okay. No, I was going to the Book Attic. Remember the Book Attic, Brad?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was where I had my first file.
There you go.
Yeah, and I was trading in my comic books, but Secret Wars number 4 spoke to me so greatly. That was the first one I decided to keep the entire series.
All right, how about you there, Keith? What do you got?
Well, my older brother's 7 years older than me, so I learned to read with comics. There's no way I could ever remember the first thing that was in my hands. But I do know the first series I collected. I started collecting two books the same day. I had $2 left from my birthday money when I was 11, and on the shelves were G.I. Joe number 17 and Power Pack number 1. So those were the first comics I collected. Power Pack was I always put first. I've kept, even though I've disposed of the rest of that run, I did keep the number 1. It's in it's bagged and boarded, stays on my shelf as the first comic that I officially collected, that I wanted to make sure that I had every issue of this book. I don't think I would read it now. I read it so many times as a kid that I can't get distance on it. I know those stories backwards and forwards. I would read them. I had so few comics that I would literally, every time a new issue came out, because it was bi-monthly, every time a new issue would go out, I would start at number one again and read all the way up to the newest issue. So I probably read the whole run, you know, 4 or 6 times a year.
Except for the last issue. You've only read that once.
Well, this series ran for about 7 years. So, yeah, near the end, I was getting 20 to 30 books, so it'd be different. But I have fond memories of the series, though. You know, Louise Simonson writing, and you know, every time I see her name, I have a fond memory of that she was writing the first comics that I read.
Nice. You know what? I didn't read that as a full run until I was like in my early 20s, and then I was blown away by how good it was. Honestly, that Power Pack run. But my story's a little different. I had a friend named Eugene. Eugene was, I was 13, he was 13. And, I would have had, the very first book I ever read here in Canada would have been, what was it called again? Not DC Comics Presents, I think it is, but not, what was their team up with that featured Superman? Their
that team was DC, up book. DC Comics Presents, that's correct.
It was, yeah. So, I mean, the very first one would have been him and Starman, the outer space Starman. And then I get one with Metamorpho, and then one with, you know, Hawkman, and I look down and I have all these comics, you know, a few months worth, but I'm hardly collecting. I'm like 5 years old. First time I decided to collect was because I had a friend, Eugene, and Eugene had an older brother. I was 13, Eugene's 13, and Eugene had an older brother who collected a lot of comic books. I think his name was Dylan or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but he was like 15, 16, and he collected a billion comics. So Eugene used to go to the comic book store with him, and he would start collecting comics. He collected a whole bunch. And he would come over every single Friday or Saturday night for a sleepover. He's my best bud at 13, and he would bring his pile of comic books. And I would read all the comic books. I mean, that was where I read Walt Simonson's Thor and things like that. So as he started coming over and bringing all these, bringing his books and his brother's books, and he would say things like, he'd hand me, you know, ElfQuest and say, I'm collecting this, and I'm collecting this. I felt like a dork. I was like, I want to be cool and also collect comic books. So, because, you know, he was cool and his brother was cool. They're collecting comic books. I had to be the same. So I started collecting. So I needed now to get my own books and books that he wasn't getting. And that wasn't a lot. So my first two books I collected, bought them the same week, decided to collect them, was Blue Devil, because I was already buying it, and Gru, because I was already buying it. I'm like, I said, I'm collecting them. Don't get those. I'll give you those. You'll read those after I am, like I read your... Don't ruin it. I'm collecting these. Eugene, you bastard. That's my story. Brett, what do you got?
Now, but that's the question, though, is that obviously I know you'd read Gru again. Would you read Blue Devil again? Off.
Oh, I'd read Blue Devil again. Come on. What are we talking about here?
It's the WKRP of comics.
That's right.
Obviously, I mean, my love of G.I. Joe has been well professed over the many weeks of this podcast, so I'm not going to really mention that story again. I remember my friend Scott taking me to the book attic, and I remember looking at it, and I mean, it was like half used.
Scott
books.
Shaw?
No.
Oh, it's too bad. That's a great comic book name.
That's true, but I did have a friend named Scott Shaw at the time. But
I know that's books... why I said Scott Shaw.
But the book attic was great because it had that used book smell, you know. And I always enjoyed that smell and the fact that, you know, you had so many used books. That
yeah,
wasn't
like
even
mildew and mold. Yeah, I remember it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You know, and the cigarette smoke coming from the back, you know, and the lady who worked there wasn't really all that nice, kind of thing per se, but it was just those early memories. And I remember at the time, I'm sure that there was some superhero books that I read, but you know what? I can't remember them to save my life because everybody else talks about the generally superhero books and stuff like that. And I have virtually no memory of superhero books other than getting Alpha Flight number one off the wall at one point. But the first books that I really read were funny animal books. Well, funny animal books were all the rage at the time. And so I definitely... I was always looking... One of the things that struck me when I was a new reader... was I was always looking for something to read. And so I was pretty much just, you know, hey, it's a book. And certainly number ones were huge, but if I saw that it was popular, I would probably try it. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was one of the popular books of the time, and I totally gravitated towards that. I loved that book. And then I also picked up Boris the Bear. And Boris the Bear is one of those books that I haven't been able to get the entire run, because the entire run, I think, is virtually impossible to piece together. And I'm not 100% sure that I could read the last issues of it, but I like the early ones. But I doubt that they're going to hold up very well. I think the early run of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would probably hold up pretty well. Not so much the Boris the Bear. And I remember...
Isn't there a publisher currently just reprinting those in a trade here recently, within the last month or so, or coming out?
IDW is republishing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right, maybe we might have to check those out and see how they hold up, do a retro review.
Yeah, well, especially the early ones.
A retro review will be joined by Elmer.
The greatest thing, though, because I also was reading like Samurai Penguin and Geriatric Gangrene Jiu-Jitsu Gerbils.
I'm going to jump in again here. Do you remember, Keith, when we talked with Chris Elm and Dave Ulbrich? Yeah, Dave Ulbrich, how they were talking about how they just missed this boom. How it was crazy, how they could sell anything, no matter how stupid it was. If it was an animal, they put that title on it. Apparently, it was all Brett.
The end of the black and white boom. Apparently, Brett bought it all.
Totally. Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters. I had everything. And it was
the first time Brett found a Spider-Man comic was the end of the black and white boom.
yeah, pretty much.
The entire market collapsed the first time he read Spider-Man.
What the hell is up with, whoa, wait a minute, where's the funny talking animals? I don't understand.
It's also
this damn thing's in color.
yeah. Captain Carrot was my gateway to superhero books, but
Captain Carrot and probably Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham, had something to do with it, too.
Yeah, I didn't know that many of those.
I love that the only reason I ever read an issue of New Teen Titans as a kid was because Captain Carrot first appeared in it.
I know. Beast Boy had the crossover, and... Oh, yeah.
And if Brett never went through this phase, we never would have bonded over G.I. Jackrabbit.
That is very, very true. G.I. Jackrabbit's one of the inhumanly worst books ever.
Quite possibly the worst produced book anyone has ever thrown money at.
Yeah, it could be, you know, wow. The one thing that I loved about the Book Attic as a store was the fact that here's me, this little, you know, like just in junior high school kid, was able to go and they would sell me mature readers books. So I remember when like Icon Devil came out.
They could not give a shit there. No. They're like, you got money? Good.
That's right. Like,
I was speaking of a legendary Calgary comic store.
Oh yes, yes. Well, I mean, there is a certain. There's lots of stores that I went to, and oddly enough, that was really not necessary. I mean, we certainly went there.
I think you have to tell everybody this. Tell everybody what you're talking about, Brett. That's one of the crazy comic book stores of all time, and tell that story.
Oh yeah, comic legend.
Maybe Keith. Why don't you go into the story?
Well, I'm going to give two bits of information. One is that the version of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund in Canada was referred to as the Comic Legends Legal Defense Fund, and it started to raise funds for a Calgary comic store that was charged with selling explicit material to minors, specifically adult comic books to minors. And certainly they raised a lot of money over the years. And the one thing I can say as a person who has been in the Calgary comic community, and enough time has passed that probably no one can sue me for saying this, everyone I know that collected comics as a preteen or as a teenager in Calgary bought explicit material comic books from that store. They were absolutely doing it.
Oh, no question. No question. I remember going over to Brett's. Brett handed me some book about two lesbians topless making out, and I went, "Where'd you get this?"
Icon
and he's
Devil.
Like, Yeah, Icon Devil. It's like Comic Legends.
Still have them. In fact, Icon Devil's a great series because it came out twice. Each it's supposed to be 12 issues. Each time it came out, they only got through 2 issues of it.
Let me tell you, I was, I think, also, again, about 13, 14 when I read it, and I think I also came out twice.
I don't think that word means what you think.
Oh, oops! You're right. Take that back. Remove out from that sentence.
So when was this comic book store closed down?
It was still open when I moved to Calgary. So it
was still open when Brett and I had our store.
93, 94, somewhere around there.
Well, because one of the key things is that I actually remember doing a trip, and I don't remember who. I know that Mo, you were there, and I'm sure that maybe even Chris or somebody else. But we took a trip over there, and he led us into the basement. And I just remember the basement just being this, you know, just long hall kind of room of long boxes full
either.
Of comic books.
It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, monstrous.
Yeah, it was like you entered a cave, like a subway system full of comic book long boxes.
That was Legendary Comic Books? Man, I was there.
Yeah, of
I
course
dreamed
you
of
were.
That day.
Yeah, Comic Legends, yeah. Yes. You were there with us.
Yeah.
I was distracted by comic books, obviously.
Really, I mean, I can't imagine you being distracted by comics. See, it's interesting, though, too, because Mo talked about Eugene, and Eugene eventually became a friend of mine, and Eugene led me to the second comic book store that I actually collected from, which was downtown, and it was a place called Siege Perilous, and it was in the basement of one of the stores kind of thing down on downtown here, and I just remember it was so cool to go to, but I think I literally only picked up my file like twice because I actually had to get on public transit and ride it for like half an hour to 45 minutes
store. I remember going there with you, Brett, and it was like the second or third time you'd been there, and you had like $3,000 worth of comic books. And the guy was so pissed at you. And I remember he's just loudly talking about, you know, I have to order these. And he wasn't like directing at you. It was like he was trying to talk to another customer and just tell him how comic books work. But he was saying it loud enough so you could specifically hear. I have to order these months ahead of time, you know. Cost me a lot of money if people don't pick up the files and stuff like that regularly. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that store, I don't even think that store lasted very long anyways. I mean,
last very long. But I also remember we were going with you. I mean, like, again, we were two young kids from the suburbs. We're going to downtown Calgary. So it was a store downtown to go get our files. So it also felt dangerous. Yeah. It's downtown Calgary. It's not dangerous. Daylight is not dangerous, but it felt like it was to us.
Oh, yeah. Well, and because it was in the basement.
It was in a basement. You know, it was dangerous.
It wasn't like the crappy little comic book hole in the one mall where I picked up my first issue of a Blue Beetle that was like part of a, you know, T-shirt store, like, and he just happened to sell some new issues on the side there. You know, those kind of stores existed quite a bit too.
I'd like to bring something up, Mo. Downtown Calgary is not dangerous. Is that your consensus?
Not during the daytime.
Then how come you start poking me every time I take you for bootleg DVDs? Sure, we're in Chinatown in a basement with where no English speaker has ever walked, but come on.
Well, I'm just poking you to go... I'm just poking you because I know that people can get arrested for buying what they have in their back room. That's all.
Well, that's true.
I don't remember ever seeing a comic book store in Chinatown, though. That's too bad.
Oh, they're there. They're just, the comics aren't in English.
Didn't stop Chris from buying them.
No.
God bless you, Chris. I mean, there's got to be a version of Swamp Thing in Mandarin that you could put next to the other four collections you had. I also went to the... Yeah, I think comic store in the back of his mom's T-shirt shop is one of my favorite places. The first comic store I ever went to was a converted room in a basement. So It was the first time I ever saw that many comics in one place. I mean, I used to count my comics regularly, and was like so happy when I got to like 200 or 300 comics that I own. And so the first time I walked down those stairs in the back door of this guy's house that he converted one room into a comic store. It was the first comic store on PEI. I grew up in Prince Edward Island, and called Outlands, and had my first file there where I got just G.I. Joe and Power Pack and Machine Man, the first comics that I collected. And it was so cool to see just like a room packed full of pop culture stuff. You know, the Star Wars spaceship blueprints and scripts, and which, you know, of course were totally bootleg, and boxes of back issues, the first time I ever saw those. And then, that became a real store, and then the next store that opened up, PEI, started out of a guy's house that it was, he just had a couple of long boxes of his own stock that he slapped some labels on and started getting some new books in. Outlands is gone, but my pal Jeff Smith, who started the Comic Hunter out of those couple of long boxes, is still around. I visited his comic store just 2 weeks ago.
You know, it's the comic books, the whole thing is probably predestined for all of us, because I mean, I imagine we all just saw comic books the first time. We don't even I probably can remember it. I mean, I talk about DC Comics presenting them. That's a book I'm getting monthly without realizing I'm collecting and how much I love it and read it. But I just remember being at my friend Doug and Brian's house, and I'd never seen a comic book before. I'm picking up an issue. They had an issue of Voltron, picking up and just holding it in my hands, and I just wouldn't leave their bed. I just held it. I was like, I just wouldn't go anywhere. And they're like, they wanted to play. I'm like, no. I'm just looking at this thing. I'm just staring at this thing. I'm just holding it.
Did you come out on it?
I removed the word out.
Oh, you.
That doesn't help.
It explains my current fetish for giant robots.
Okay. I got the worst comic book story, story ever. Of course, I don't live in Calgary with you guys. I live in a city named Lloydminster. And city? For a number of years, we had a comic book store. Kate's Crafts. Yes, this was a comic book store / wool and knitting store.
Well, actually, you know, that's almost perfect. You theoretically could have a guy and a girlfriend both, you know, getting a...
That is diversification at its finest.
Well, right? Yeah, if the guy's 20 and the girlfriend's 80.
Well, it is Lloydminster.
There
come
are ups
on.
And downs in the comic market, but everyone needs to wear wool.
That's right.
And by the last year...
So bring your grandmother...
Except superheroes, like, Keith.
Bring your grandmother and you're like, I'm going to get comic books and I'm going to get you wool to make me socks for Christmas. Perfect.
That's right. See, when people have a lot of money, they can buy comic books. And when there's an economic downturn and they can't buy a lot, they probably can't buy clothes either, so they have to make them.
Awesome, Chris. Awesome.
Yes, and the only back issue, or the only trade paperbacks they ever had, was at the end of the store being about the clothes, were books they mistakenly ordered for me that I hadn't ordered. So they got two of stuff I already had. That's all they had in this store. Those comic books that they'd ordered an extra for me, and wool.
Which they didn't order for you.
it was really awkward hanging out there sometimes.
And yet you still would just hang out and talk comic books with them even though they didn't know. Like, it's not, it was, you're trying to reproduce the, that's the thing. I mean, I think that is the thing, the nostalgic thing we all love the most, is that walking into a comic book store, there's a guy, he's grabbing a comic, you don't know him, you've never met him before, you talk to him like you've known him 1,000 years because you're talking comics. Just that hang around, everybody's your friend because you all got that thing in common, that bond that's instant. And Chris, would talk to those women buying wool about comics. He didn't give a damn.
Yeah, I just had this picture of Chris in the store buying comics, trying to talk, and having the lady behind the counter, would you like to buy some wool?
And here's the other thing. Chris, when he goes in a comic book shop, will curse constantly. F-bombs. I'm not kidding. constant. I was like, Chris, there are kids and people around who might not like that. He goes, we're in a frick. He won't say frickin', but he'll say, we're in a frickin' comic book shop. I'm allowed to swear all I want. Apparently, this is some Kevin Smith influence on him or something. But I'm just wondering if you pulled that in the wool store, how'd they like it?
Well, it was really hard to be heard in that store because they also gave music lessons in the back room.
Why do I know you're not lying?
I'm not, man.
Did they sell Chinese food and Western and ice cream and Western food
now
as well?
Now serving ice cream.
No, but it was the next to the place that I bought my car insurance, and they sold fudge.
We got a couple wacky small town Canada. Small town Canada. We don't have enough stores, so every store has enough stuff.
The best store. This isn't a comic store, but it's the best store that I was ever in. And Brett and I, when we were on an adventure in Cleveland, stayed at a motel that was next to a store that literally had a sign that said, drugs, fireworks, alcohol. Yep.
I actually still have a photo of that store somewhere.
Drugs, one fireworks, stop liquor, shopping. Awesome.
That is a recipe for disaster right there.
We just looked at that and thought, this is the perfect store. This is the one-stop shopping right here.
Yeah, we're done. We're locked and loaded right there.
I bet you if you had walked in there, you would have just saw Dee Dee Ramone standing there.
Could be.
Well, it was like Shangri-La.
Not
like
standing,
Disneyland.
No, not standing there. You're right. All right. Let's do some reviews, guys. Let's do some reviews. Brett, open her up.
Oh, crap.
Because we are, Keith, we are...
saving you from bad comics. Here
I
come to
save the day. I would love to save everybody from bad comics. I'd love to save myself from bad comics. So, well, let's see now. No, I'm going to talk about...
I don't think Brett had a good week reading comics. That's a preview
a
right there.
Yes.
A little tease.
Brett is right now about to tell us that he's just quitting. He's just done. I have reached the end of the comics.
What to start out with? Well, I'm going to start out with National Comics Looker. And one thing I will say about this book, it's pretty. It looks real good. And then there's the writing part. And now the writing doesn't really quite match the look of the book. It's certainly not as generic as the last National Comics book that I read, but it's not necessarily that good. Like, in this case, I'm really glad that these are one-shot books, because after I'm done reading them, I'm like, woo, I don't have to even consider that there's going to be a series of this right now to avoid. I only just have to read the one and then forget about it. And that's pretty much what I would do with Looker. Read the one... think, oh, great, a vampire story. Whew, I've been a whole, 10 minutes without reading a vampire story. And then I'm done. And then I don't have to think about it again.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if there's any original concepts or new takes on vampires out there. Apparently, according to this book, no. No, there isn't. Her ass looks great in those pants, though, Brett.
Oh, yeah, it's shiny. You can even see the shine of the leather or pleather, whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah, there's many shots of just her ass filling on the panel and other people talking around it.
Yeah, and breasts. Yeah, it's a TNA book completely. Locked in, right there.
Yeah, no kidding. It also sucks. Keith, what do you think?
I don't really have anything more to add. It's a pretty book that's not very good. Could have just been a special issue of iVampire, really. They just saved this as a fill-in to iVampire.
This book, the writer, I can't remember his name.
Edgerton.
Yeah. I refuse to remember his name. All I'll say is, I think he thinks that he's giving a lot of biting social commentary and being a lot more clever than he really is. The National Comics, of course, an imprint of DC, we should mention. Chris... disagree with us. Give us a little debate here.
I would love to. I didn't hate it as much as you guys, but quite frankly, I just couldn't get into the book because the the gaping plot holes. A vampire hiding out in the fashion industry. A vampire hanging out with nothing but cameras and mirrors. This is the worst cover since Clark Kent. I mean, this is just stupid. I couldn't get over that little, like, tidbit. Normally, plot holes I'm pretty good with. I can, like, I can buy into that. Well, I can buy into this at all.
And it's funny, they make a point of saying she can't be a model anymore because she can't get her photo taken, but she can be a celebrity designer who's standing in front of 8,000 cameras.
Well, no, but they said, here's the thing about that, and this is, again, this is about the bad writing. You're right, they did make, like, if they had ignored it, it wouldn't be that big a deal, but they make a point of it. But then they say that she's a recluse and that she's rarely seen. Meanwhile, she's walking around in front of all these people. She doesn't cover her face. Well, she's literally flying through the air and taking on villains and everything like that. She's walking around a ledge outside, walking around the building to get to her neighbor's window outside. This is bad.
How could anyone think this was a good idea or made remote sense? It just, I mean, that's what bothered me. I actually thought the writing was kind of cool, and the villain in this piece, I kind of like the, I think they called him a succubus or something like that. I don't know.
Incubus.
No-name demon. He looked cool. I liked that.
Sure, and then she killed him right away. Oops, spoiler alert, but she kills her what appears to be her long-term, well, I guess it is a one-shot, but villain right away. Not only that, but she's never fought before, and she's a vampire, he's an incubus. You'd think they'd have equal powers, and maybe an incubus would be stronger. Generally, and I'm not being sexist here, males are actually physically stronger than females, and you'd think that wouldn't go away just because she's a vampire and he's a demon, but she just kicks his ass, no problem. It's just stupid.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think... I thought the dialogue was fine. I just wanted somebody to sit down and think about the story before it did. It happened. Yeah, terrible. Didn't like it at all.
Well, you did a really good job debating us then.
Well, I mean, I didn't hate it as much as you guys, but at the same time, I mean, these are gaping errors.
Usually the Chris review is, I didn't hate this.
Found the plot hole.
Yeah, usually the Chris review is, I didn't hate it as much as you guys. It was terrible, so I recommend it. That's the typical Chris review.
I'm not
so
recommending
this
one.
This time he's changing it up by not recommending the terrible book.
Yeah. All right, yay!
Give us another book there, Chris.
All right, let's go with Phantom Lady and Dollman. I like this book, actually. I didn't expect to. I'm a huge fan of miniskirts, and let's face it, recently DC has been covering up a lot of their female superheroes. And the same is true with this book, but I actually found myself interested in Phantom Lady, as well as Dollman, who, I mean, is not exactly the star of this book. He's definitely sort of positioned as a supporting character. I for a limited series, first issue was good. I'm looking forward to where it's going after this. Definitely a step up from the same writing team that brought us... what was the terrible series?
The Ray.
Step up from The Ray. Not great, but pretty good. I enjoyed it. First book of the week, but...
That's not saying much.
That's not saying a hell of a lot.
No, I didn't like this as much as you. And this suffers from the same thing. That we talk about. Brent talked about Jeff Johns and how his characters are assholes, and every character in this is an asshole, just like every character in Looker was an asshole, and maybe in trying to make people more realistic, maybe that's because in the real world, apparently everyone's an asshole. I just don't find them likable. I don't want to be with these people. I don't want to read them. I don't care about them. I don't like this book. I think these characters needed an update. I think they did a good job making them more modern, but I don't like them. I don't care for them. I'm not going to stick around to see what happens to them because I can't relate to them at all. They're just characters nowadays are often unrelatable to me, and these characters fell into that as well. Keith, what'd you think?
Well, I disagree in the case of Dollman. I wouldn't disagree in the case of Ben. I like the Dollman character. I thought it was a neat origin, and It's the start of the story. I will need to read another one before I know whether I'm going to go all four. I'm in for a second issue. One of the things I found a little jarring, and it'll probably read better as a set as opposed to on its own, is you have one page of that's listed as years ago, you have five pages of today, and then the rest of the issue is 6 months ago. That's a lot of jumping in 22 pages, or in 20 pages. That's a lot of timelines to be covering. The years ago page probably could have been done without, because you've shown Phantom Lady in action and then gone back to tell the origin primarily of Dollman. So it's structurally a bit odd as a single issue. But that said, I did enjoy Dollman. I actually, I wasn't into the book really until they introduced him as a character, and what they did with him over the course of the rest of the issue, I did enjoy. So I'll be willing to try another issue of it. Brett?
See, it's funny because I called this issue Phantom Lady because I hated Dollman.
Yeah, like, you know what? Dollman, Brett, did you find he had a slight resemblance to Rob Liefeld?
No, but it was mostly just that I just, like, everything Dollman said, I didn't like. Every time he opened his mouth, it was like something was coming out, and I was just like, wow, I don't like you. I wouldn't like you if you were a real person. I don't like reading you as a comic book. And, you know, it's terrible, because honestly, I give Jimmy Palmiotti a bad time, and I certainly give Keith a bad time for enjoying, like, virtually every Jimmy Palmiotti book that comes out. And so, every time Jimmy Palmiotti comes out with a book, I'm always ripping it apart, because it just seems like they just never work for me. And so I wanted desperately, in my own way, to like this book, and I don't. And so it's almost like the only way that I'm ever going to be able to tell how good a Jimmy Palmiotti book really is based on the volume of reviews that he retweets. Because with every other book, like with Creator-Owned Heroes, all I see out of Jimmy Palmiotti's feed is like 100 retweets of reviews of Creator-Owned Heroes. And so it'll be interesting to see how many retweets of reviews of this we're going to get. How many people out there are going to say that they like this book?
And maybe he doesn't care as much, though, so he doesn't, because it's a work for hire. It's not as personal, so he won't.
No. This is Jimmy Palmiotti. He's gonna retweet everything. everything positive about this book. Oh, he'll be right on that. It's not what I was hoping for, and I didn't care for it.
I just don't see I don't get where you guys are coming from with Dollman as a douchebag. He offers to make her pancakes. That's like the first thing he does. She shows up, he's like, would you like some pancakes? I kind of want breakfast.
Yeah, but then they just start yelling at each other.
Douchebag behavior.
Okay, I'm with you, Keith. I liked him.
I didn't like either one of them.
And I didn't like the art either.
Was it the goatee? Like, did you just have something against the goatee?
Actually, the goatee the hair, I didn't like
the
at
goatee,
all.
The hair, just everything.
Yeah.
The dialogue. Apparently he flips his pancakes too early and the inside isn't fully cooked. I hate it when they have a stomach ache. Brett, go give us another book, man. How about Lost Crusade?
Oh, the Lost Crusade, yeah. The Red Circle, this is what happens between the original Mighty Crusaders and the new Crusaders. And, well, it's 8 issues of the Crusaders. So I really didn't know what was going on because I haven't
really
read the book.
8 issues or eight
pages? 8 pages, yeah. 8 issues. Yes. Well,
longest preview ever.
Yes. I mean, this is fine, I'm sure, and I'm more interested in what somebody would think who's actually read the damn series. I haven't, so it didn't mean that much to me.
Yeah,
that's about
me,
it.
Me either, man. What I found just weird about this is this feels to me like it should be a really, really serious book, and yet the art to me felt really kind of, it didn't capture me, it didn't suit the mood of what I thought they were trying to present at all. It was too light and fun, childlike almost.
Terry Austin does a better job inking John Byrne than he does making this book?
It's not that it's bad art. It's just I thought bad art for this book, and it really took me out of it. I thought this should have had a darker, more realistic look to it, and it would have had a lot more weight. Keith, how about you?
Well, it's a book that takes place between a book I've never read and a book I've never read. So I'm glad that finally filled in this gap.
Well, we're all in the same boat then.
I don't know. Like, I think it's, you know, it's just a sneak peek, but I don't know. I just kept thinking of other versions of these characters. So it doesn't really tell me anything about any character, and it's really just panels of people posing while there's narrative boxes over them. Nothing actually happens in the book. Everyone just kind of stands there, and some of them stand in a row, some of them stand pointing, like looking toward panel right, some of them stand looking toward panel left. I assume they're looking at each other while narrative boxes fill the rest of the space. I don't know, it was kind of odd. Chris?
I didn't like this book. I subscribed to the Red Circle app because I was looking for some old Pep comic books that I wanted to catch up with some of these characters that I knew. So I've been reading The Mighty Crusaders. I can't say I've enjoyed a single issue, although it hasn't inspired any bile towards it. Because it comes out weekly in 8-page issues, I read it, it's there. I keep hoping they're going somewhere, but it hasn't happened yet. I would not recommend getting the app just for these issues, or this issue. As far as number ones go, complete fail.
All right, and Steven Peel, Chris, let's talk about that.
Steven Peel. But this is by Mark Waid, and I have to say this is the worst single issue I've read in a long time. Steen and Peel go to the future, sorta. Add in some really like unexcusable bad art. I had trouble telling they were in the future. Like my God, this is just such bad art. I couldn't tell what was going on. Story didn't make any sense. What a nothing issue. Steen and Peel are cool characters. I love the Avengers. And I'm talking the British series, not that crappy movie. I
thought you liked the Avengers movie. You were telling me earlier tonight, go see it.
That's right, Captain America.
We're talking different Avengers.
Yeah, we're talking Uma Thurman and Rob Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes? Rafe Fiennes, that's it, yeah.
I don't know. It had a weather machine. It sucked.
Sean Connery was the bad guy. It was awful.
Yeah, it just completely awful. And this goes along the same lines. I mean, trying to trick a guy to think he's older, man, that's pretty lame. Not a lot of thought went into this book. And I mean, Steen and Peel are good enough characters that we should be able to get some sort of good spy story, and they don't even try. Really, I mean, somebody should have stopped this before it began.
Keith?
I didn't read it, but now I'm sorry I didn't.
All right, you didn't read it, I'll give you mine. You know what? You have these characters, and I don't know if you call them iconic. They certainly probably are in England. Mark Waid's a talented writer, but maybe we should have had a... These are very British characters, and he writes them very British, but I don't know if he gets a very British feel to it because he's not British. Maybe we needed a British writer on this. It is silly. I just don't know that you need continuing adventures of these people set in the same universe and set in the... There's just nothing added to this. It's just pretty boring. Brett?
Well, I think for me the biggest problem was that I felt like it was one big in-joke and nobody had let me in on it. Because through the entire thing, I was just like, whoa, is this a reference to something that's gone before? Because I certainly don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, if you're a hardcore fan, you might have enjoyed this, but everybody else, they left out.
Yeah.
How about that robot disguise, man? I mean, Rob Snyder hiding in a robot in Judge Dredd made more sense than that robot disguise.
When Cartman pretended to be a robot for Butters... And it was so obviously not a real robot, and Butters believed it was. that was this level of ridiculous, and that made fun of this type of thing.
Yeah, and like you say, Chris, the art in this is awful. I mean, it's just it looks like I penciled it, really. I mean, it's that bad.
And you do a good boof.
Yeah, yes, there's that, but that's about it. And yeah, I mean, maybe if you're a hardcore fan of Steven Peele and the Avengers, then this book will be for
if
you.
If you're a hardcore fan, this is going to just slap you across the face. This gives no respect to the property at all.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. It's not that it just slaps you across the face. It's what it slaps you across the face with. It's not a hand. It's really disgusting. Brett, let's do our plugs and get the hell out of here.
Alrighty. Well, as you mentioned before, Brett_WeTalk on Twitter. And that's Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com. Let me see now. So the best news that I got all week was that a little quote of mine wound up on the back of Scam. So I just wanted to thank Joe Mulvey and Tyler James for throwing that on there. And tell everybody to go pick up a copy of Scam, because I know I'm going to go pick up 4 or 5.
Chris?
I'm Chris at WeTalkPodcast.com, Chris_WeTalk on Twitter. Really regretting my Scam review is not liking the coloring. I wanted the pull quote. Oh, well. Keith?
You can email me, Keith@WeTalkPodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, CubReporterK. And with the events of this week's Justice League International Annual, I am now launching my campaign, Chalkboards for Booster Gold. Once you read this week's Justice League Annual.
Oh my God, we almost got through an episode.
Oh, you knew it wasn't, it couldn't go. Couldn't go.
We almost got through an episode without the Booster Gold reference. Oh my God.
Mo.
Hey, I'm Mo at We Talk Podcasts. Hey, Mo. No E on my name. Mo_WeTalk. We Talk Fantasy Football just went up about a half hour before we're recording this. For episode 1 for the new season. If you're a fantasy football fan, come listen to me and Brett and have some fun and see if you agree or want to beat us or you want to compete with us. All that good fun stuff. It's a fun show. Latest Lombox podcast Lombox Graveyard podcast. Trip over my own tongue. If you're one of the few who hasn't heard it because it's just exploded, you should, because it's a great episode. We are trying to negotiate for when we're going to record our next Mojo show. Me and Joe Mulvey of Scam are going to record our third show, and I'm sure Keith's want to listen in on that one again. And we're hoping to do that this coming week. What else we got going on? Chris, you have a blog. You wrote it. I will put it up, I promise, in the next few days. And We Talk Wrestling also has lots of great stuff. You guys got to check out the Freaks TV Channel E blog, and he's rebooted the wrestling product for the WWE in a way that you guys will just blow your mind. You got to look at his graphics. He wants to do something comic book related with us here. We're going to put our heads together. We're going to come up with something. We're going to revolutionize a company or a character in a way you guys have never seen before with this talented man. And I think that's it. We're OUT. Oh, and listen to the Comic Podcast Network as well. Check them out. Now we're OUT.